You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
And you guys can be seated. I don't get a shout out to our softball team. They were 7-time softball champions, so 7 years in a row. They won the championship, so that was this week. So yeah, give it up for them. Pretty awesome. You see one of these fine folks, make sure and say, hey, great job. They were undefeated for 7 years. Until this year, they lost 2 games. So we were really worried about, are you going to win or not? But then they redeemed themselves, won the championship. So super proud. We were going to give them a trophy, and we realized we've lost the trophy somewhere. So we've had it for like 7 years. So we're just like, I don't know. It's in the basement. So if you see a softball trophy, bring it to either me or one of these people, and they would love to take their trophy. But yeah, we're super excited. I think Jonah might be in here. He's one of the guys on the team. A lot of you participated in that, but it's awesome. So I want to say big shout out to that. Also, our announcement guy didn't mention giving, and we do still take up tithes and offering this morning. So if you'd like to give, you can online or on your way out in the buckets. We love being generous towards God's mission and all that he is doing. If you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 5. And as you go there, I want to tell you a little bit about my weekend. We got to travel up to Louisville because my father-in-law is, I call him Pappy, but most people call him Judge Alan Stout. And so because he's a federal bankruptcy judge and he's in Paducah, or I'm sorry, he does Paducah, but also in Louisville. In Louisville, he has like his own chambers, his own courthouse. Like it's crazy, like what he gets to go into, like sort of a big deal. Well, he retired this Friday after 14 years serving as a federal judge. So it was a big deal. There were senators there. There's a bunch of judges. The whole thing was fantastic. A lot of speeches and things to just honor him. But then after that, we got to go to Malone's for a reception dinner. And I love dinners that I don't have to pay for. They're just great. So we got to go, and it was one of those like great, fancy, awesome dinners. Like Malone's is a really, really great steakhouse in Louisville. So we go in, we sit down, and the first thing is the appetizers. And they bring around like artichoke dip, and they have like these wonton like that you dip in. It's so good. And they brought out sushi, like a variety of it. So I'm having all these appetizers. And then come the salad. And they got to pick from a menu what we wanted. So I got a filet mignon, medium rare. And when it came, it was so good. That, potatoes, vegetables, they're passing around all the sides. And then when you thought, man, I absolutely can't have any more, then they brought around cheesecake. And it was like, yes, now we get dessert. It was awesome, right? Sometimes special occasions end with a really great meal. You've had those moments where you've had a really good meal and you can just remember it, you can taste it, you can think about it. Something about food, right? It's just really, really good. Now I want to say, can you imagine if in that scenario, so we're in this room, probably 100 people, Kentucky game's on, everybody's eating, everybody's feasting. Can you imagine if when the waitress came over to me, I said, ma'am, could you just bring me out milk all night? Because I only eat milk. Be a little odd, right? And imagine if I told her, actually, you know, I really don't like drinking from the glass. Could you just put it in a bottle? Because then I won't spill it, and I'll just like chill in the back and just drink this milk from a bottle. Like, how many of you think I would be like the really weird guy in the corner if when all of this meal is coming forth, right? Like appetizers, salad, steak, cheesecake. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I got my bottle and I'm drinking my milk. It'd be really strange, right? We could all sort of say that. Now, it wouldn't be odd if a mom had a newborn and was giving this newborn milk from a bottle. Everyone'd be like, oh, that's so cute. Me, on the other hand, that's creepy. That seems odd, right? Something would be wrong with that picture. Well, the preacher in the sermon, he's gonna kind of hit pause on his sermon and he's gonna take a little detour and he's gonna just rebuke the crowd he's talking to. He's gonna rebuke this little church and he's basically gonna say, hey, it's time to grow up. Like you guys need to grow up because you need to move from milk to meat. And so that's like the title of the sermon. You can go to that slide. Grow up, moving from milk to meat. That's what we're going to cover today because here's a church that, man, milk is good. And let's be honest, milk, those foundations of the gospel, they are the core. They are the foundations. They are so, so good. But also in those, we're supposed to move on to other things, to things that are meat from God's word so that we can grow and mature in Christ. So the preachers are going to take a little detour and he's going to say, hey, we need a time out. We need to talk because you need to grow up, because some of you, you're still on milk and you need to move to meat. And so maybe some of us in this room need that same word that, hey, you're still a baby Christian and you've been a Christian for a long, long time. So it's time to start growing. So if you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 5 and get a little bit of a rebuke this morning. So if you're able and can, please stand out of reverence for the word of God. We're going to begin reading in verse 11. And we're going to see this little detour that he's going to take. Here's what it says in verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child or infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instructions about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would help us to take this rebuke and not be angry, but be motivated. Motivated that maybe some of us were still baby Christians and we've been a baby Christian for a long time, and now it's time to grow up. It's time to move from milk to meat and to start really being skilled in the word of God. So God, I pray that you would help us all to grow up this morning in the Lord. We pray this in Christ's good name, amen. You guys may be seated. So you might see over the text we just read, there's a warning against apostasy. And so it's sort of a strange detour that the preacher takes. And what we're going to do is this one in the detour, we're going to hear the rebuke. Next week, there's going to be a warning. Hey, some of you here might actually fall away. I know that really scares us as Baptists. So we're going to talk about, what does that mean, the state of apostasy? Is it a falling away? Can you do that? Is that biblical? What does that mean? What does that look like? So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to come back the following Sunday, and he's going to bring some comfort. He's going to say, hey, I don't think any of you are going to fall away. And here's the reason, because you have the anchor of Christ. But we're going to hear a rebuke, warning, and then comfort. So just know we're on a little bit of a detour. Because if you notice, the first thing he tells us is to listen up. Notice in verse 11, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So we've got a lot to tell you. He has a sermon he's been rolling through. And this idea of, hey, we have much to say about this, I think he's talking about this priesthood of Melchizedek. He's been talking about Jesus, who's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he's like, okay, I can tell not all of you are listening. I can tell we need a little detour. So he sort of stops the car. Like, have you ever been driving and the kids are just going crazy and they won't listen, they won't do what you're telling them? So you have to take a detour. Mommy is pulling over the car. Daddy is stopping until you stop all of this, right? You detour, you pull over, and you have to give the kids a little pep talk about what they need to do, or we're gonna turn the car around and we're not going there, we're going back home. Right? Have you ever had to do that? Am I the only parent that has a detour some? Detour stop. That's what he's doing. He's detouring this church and saying, we need to pull the car over and we need to have a talk because I can't move forward unless you lock in. So he's saying, hey, we have much to say. There's a lot to say, but the truth is, it's hard to explain. Now, the question is what he's about to say about Melchizedek hard to explain because it's so lofty we can't understand it? Nor is the content too difficult for Christians to grasp? It's not what he says. It's not hard to explain because the content is so above us. It's hard to explain because since you have become dull of hearing, you have lazy hearing. You're not listening. You're not applying. You're not growing. So the reason it's hard for me to explain this is not because the content is overly complicated. It's because you are not listening and paying attention. You're not hearing what I'm saying and actually practicing it and growing from it and building upon it. So I have to keep going over and over and over the same things because you're not growing. So it's a rebuke. They have become dull of hearing. To become dull of hearing, it means to be lazy in your hearing. That's what they're doing. Their church has become lazy in hearing. Yeah, they're coming in, they're hearing the apostles, but they're just tuning it out. They're just there, and they go home, and they come back, and they're never able to truly learn, to truly grow. They become dull in their hearing. So I think for us, a question for us to ask is, how is my hearing? Like Jesus would say, let him who have ears hear. It's kind of an odd phrase, right? How many of you have ears in this room? Everybody. So it's like, okay, what do you mean he who has ears, let him hear? You can have ears and actually not hear. You can have ears and not listen. Like, I don't know if you've ever tried to tell somebody something, like maybe you have kids and you say the same thing over and over again, and what's the kid's response? You never said that. You never told me that. You know, when your kid says that over and over again, like every single time, you know what probably is the problem? It's not the parent saying things, it's the kid what? Not listening to things. Right? If you're an employee and your employer is constantly saying, hey, you didn't tell me that. It might be not the instruction, it might be you're listening. You're not paying attention. You're not listening well. And so the problem is not they're not getting instruction. The problem is they're not listening. They're not soaking in. They're not doing anything with it. They've become dull of hearing. So I just want to ask you, how's your hearing this morning? Like we're pulling the car over. And again, when you get rebuked, there's two responses. You can get mad or you can get motivated. You can get mad. What does he mean I'm lazy hearing? I'm not a baby Christian. And throw a fit and sort of prove the point, right? That's, oh, wait, I'm not hearing. This is the word. I'm not going to get mad about this. I'm going to get motivated to start hearing. What does that look like? How do I hear from the Word of God? Which is one of the things we're going to get into in just a moment. But notice this idea of hearing. So we need to listen up, and then we need to move from milk to meat. Notice in verse 12, the preacher says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. So notice the phrase, for by this time you ought to be teachers. What's he implying there? He's not scolding the baby Christians for only being on milk. He's not scolding those who are new to the faith, who are still trying to learn the basic gospel, like repentance and faith. He's not scolding those. If you're a new believer, you should be on milk. Peter would say, you need the milk of the gospel. You need the pure word of God to grow. We all need milk. We all started with milk. But if you've been in Christ for a while, at some point, you don't need milk only. At some point, you need vegetables. At some point, you need food. Like when you're a baby, you drink milk only, right? And at some point, you get the kids' menu. The kids' menu is always fun. Like I'm always a little jealous of the kids' menu because I see like my kids, they get the kids' menu, and there's colors, and there's like crossword puzzles, and they get the little lines. There's the kids' menu. It's colorful. It's a little bit hand-fed to you, but we're trying to get some food, like do the grilled cheese in the midst of the play, right? And then it goes to, now there's the adult table. And the adult table, you don't need any colors. You got a steak. Like this is what I want. That's how the progression of being a believer looks. It's we move from milk to sort of the kids menu, and then we go from the kids menu to, okay, now we're enjoying the steak. And that's what I love, these deep things of the Lord, these things that I'm studying and thinking through. So he says, hey, by this time, there should be enough knowledge where you ought to be teachers. I don't think he's meaning everyone should be a preacher or everyone should be a Sunday school teacher. What I think he says, though, every Christian should be able to teach someone else about the things of God. Like all of us are supposed to give a defense for the things that we believe. Like all of us should be able to articulate to our friends, our family, our coworker, the person we're golfing with or fishing with or going to the whatever with. When they ask a question, we should be able to articulate what the Bible says about that. We should be able to teach others what we know about God and about the scriptures. But he's saying you should be teachers. We have to keep teaching you what? Those basic principles of the oracles of God. We're having to go back to the ABCs over and over again. Now, if you think about the ABCs are not bad. They're actually good, right? If you're teaching a kid, how do you start? You start with a kid who's learning how to get knowledge, learning in school. One of the first things we teach them is the ABCs. Why? Because if you don't know the ABCs, you can't go any further. You can't read and write and explore knowledge and all those things. You need to know the ABCs to learn everything else. So you don't abandon the ABCs at some point. No, you build upon the ABCs to all the other knowledge you're gaining throughout your life. And that's what it looks like in Christianity. We're talking about those basic principles, the basic gospel. Those are those ABCs. We don't ever leave them. We don't go away from them. No, we build upon them. Like, here's the gospel. Now let's build upon that so that I can now mature in my faith and grow in my faith and become, well, not someone who only has milk, but someone who actually gets solid food. See, milk is perfect in the right context. So I don't want any of you to hear rebuke and you're like, man, I just am brand new to this and I haven't really explored. That's okay. Being a brand new Christian and drinking milk is great. It's like a lot of the Sundays that I don't preach, I usually always visit the nursery because there's a cute girl who works in the nursery. Her name's Katie. She's my wife. And I go in there and just kind of check on things. And I always go in there and they're like rocking babies and doing the thing. And I only stay in there for about 3 minutes because after that, they're going to start asking me to help. And I'm like, okay, got to go check on other things. But I just love to go in there for a few moments, say hi to her, sort of, you know, the landscape. And I can look across and across this nursery with like babies. And what I always see, the little baby babies, always at least one who's taking a bottle. And that's a great thing in context, right? It's great for a baby to take the bottle and the bottle only. But another thing I do on Wednesday nights is I go around and check on all of our small groups. One of like, you know, pastoral duties. So just go around, check on all the small groups. Now, one thing about most of our small groups do potlucks. So they bring food. So for me, Wednesday night is like a progressive dinner. So I go to the first small group, and I don't ever ask to eat. I've never asked. They're always like, hey, why don't you try this? And you don't want to be rude, right? So it's like when your grandma asks you for, do you want some pie? You say yes. So it's like I'll start with like appetizer one, appetizer two, entree. And every small group, I get a little bit more of the progressive dinner, and it's great. I end up with like four desserts. It's awesome. So I love Wednesday nights. But could you imagine if I walked into a small group, and everybody in the small group, they're all around the table drinking from a bottle, milk. And hey, you want a bottle? No, I'm good, right? It's good in one context, it's awkward in the other because yeah, babies, they can only handle milk. They only should be given milk. But adults, yeah, they can still drink milk, but they should be eating other things. There should be solid food that they are digesting. And that's what the preacher is trying to say. Hey, it's time to grow. It's time to take those ABCs and now build upon them. It's time to take the milk and also introduce vegetables and meat and other solid food so that you can grow into the person Christ wants you to be. So he's saying it's time to grow up. It's time to continue in that faith that you have believed. Now it's time to continue to grow in that. So what are the signs that maybe you're still a baby Christian? What are the signs of immaturity? I think he's gonna say there's two signs. Number one is being unskilled and the other is being undiscerning. Those are the two signs that he's gonna give to say, hey, you might still be a baby Christian if these two things are happening. And again, if you've been in Christ for a year, it's okay to be a baby Christian. We're not scolding babies for not being able to be skilled and discerning. But if you've been in Christ for 10 years and you're still unskilled in the word of God and you're still not able to discern anything that God would say, then there's a problem. And again, don't get mad, get motivated. Oh, this is where I am. I need to move forward. I need to continue in my faith and learn to grow. So let's read it. Verse 13 says this, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child." And the word child, it can mean infant, one who can't speak yet. They're a baby. They're still a baby Christian. "But solid food is for the mature, For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So the one who's only on milk and doesn't have solid food, that person's a child, they're still a baby, and they're unskilled in the word of God, and they're unable to discern or distinguish between good and evil. So let's deal with the first one. The first one is being unskilled. This idea of not being skilled in the word of righteousness, which I think is another way just to say the word of God. In other words, this person who's a baby Christian, they're unskilled, meaning they just don't know the word of God. They're not able to handle it. They don't know sort of the big story of it. If you ask them a question about the Bible, they would be really unclear. I don't really know what the Bible says about that. I don't know what the Bible says about that. I don't know what that book's about. I'm not sure about this verse. They don't have any knowledge or skills in the word of God. That's someone who's only drinking milk and they haven't moved on to the solid food. They haven't begun to dive into scripture for themselves, haven't begun to learn and study for themselves. And again, it's okay for a baby, but at some point you should be growing. From baby to toddler to first walking to now having some language, getting ready to run, and then all of a sudden you're a wise adult who is skilled in the word of God and able from that skill to discern what's good and bad, distinguish what's right and wrong. And I think for us, one of the reasons it's so important to be skilled in the word of God is because of the world that we inhabit right now. Now, I think it was also important for them back then in this Hebrew church that's in Roman culture to be skilled in the word of God. And you know why that is? Because they live in a culture that doesn't promote a Christian worldview. They couldn't walk into Rome in the Roman Forum or in the Colosseum. They couldn't just read all of Plato and say, oh, this is what Christianity is about. If I just follow the philosophers, if I just go to these festivals, this is what Christianity is. If I go to these bathhouses with these people, this is what Christianity is. It wasn't assumed in the culture. It wasn't taught in the culture. So what did you do? You had to know the word of God to know, oh, this is the kingdom of Christ and this is the kingdom of the world and I want to go here, not here. But you had to develop a skill. You had to actually learn the word of God to know the difference. And I think we right now live in a similar time. I mean, there might have been a time in American history where the culture at large sort of promoted a Christian worldview in some ways. That's not necessarily the case now. Like, if you just try to figure out, okay, what would Christ want me to do? Let's just binge watch all of Netflix. Are you going to learn what Christ would want you to do? If you just scanned all of social media, watch all of cable news, oh, here's what Jesus wants me to do. No, because you're not going to just walk into the world that you inhabit, and you're just not going to assume a Christian worldview. You're going to assume a very worldly worldview. So how do we learn what Christ would have us do? Well, we can't be babies anymore. We have to start feasting on the word of God so that we can know the word of God, so that the word of God can get in us and we can know, oh, this is what Christ would have me do and this is what Christ would not have me do. Here's what growth looks like. Here's what Christ would say about this. See, we have to be very skilled because we live in a world that we're asking big questions. I mean, big biblical questions, like, what does it mean to be human is one of the questions that we're asking. And how does, like, AI fit in that? And how do we deal with, man, we've got some major questions. So if we're not skilled and rooted in what does the Bible say about humanity? What does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible say about sin and salvation and the government and politics and marriage and kids and family and work and all of those things? If we don't know what the Bible says about those and we're not skilled in those, we're not going to know how to live in the kingdom of God. And so what the preacher is trying to say is, hey, listen up, grow up. And one thing you need to do is to be skilled in the word of God. So are you skilled? And you know what I think about being skilled in the word of God? One thing about the moment we live in, we have every advantage to be skilled in the word of God. I mean, if you think about it, if you went to the apostles and told them what all we have, like, we have the Bible on our phone. That's unbelievable. I have a Bible app called Logos that's got like 15,000 commentaries on it. and all the Greek and Hebrew tools that I could ever need. Like on my phone, like an app, I can push it right there. That's crazy. I can access YouTube videos that have preachers telling me about the gospel. Like it's unbelievable what we have. We have all of the advantages, but also we have all the distractions too. Because the same phone that holds your Bible is the same phone that can keep you from your Bible. Have you ever noticed that? Like it's a war. We are so have an advantage, but also a disadvantage because we're so distracted with everything around us. So we have to be the people that intentionally tune out things and turn off things to dive deeply into things. That's what we have to do as a people of God. We have to be skilled in the Word of God. The second mark of being a baby Christian or non-mature Christian is to be undiscerning, to not have discernment, to not know the difference between good and evil, to not know the difference between right and wrong. Here's what he says in verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So what does the mature do? What does a mature Christian do? Well, they have their powers of discernment trained so they can distinguish what's right and what's wrong. And discernment is a hard thing. Discernment is a complicated thing because discernment often means we don't know exactly what to do in the situation. There's not a thou shall or thou shalt not. Here's a question that's not obvious, maybe right off the bat. So we have to use wisdom, discernment. We have to wrestle with it, figure it out. We have to use discernment. Like this weekend, starting on Thursday and then Friday and then Saturday, I can't tell you how much I've spent on the phone dealing with Trunk or Treat. Like it's unbelievable. Me, Shelly, Abby, the rest of the team trying to wrestle with do we do Trunk or Treat or not? Back and forth, back and forth. And so there's not a, like we prayed, Lord tell us what to do. And he didn't just like shout down what to do. So now it's like, okay, now we're gonna have to turn to like discernment, right? We've all got experience, knowledge, those things, but guess what? There's not a right or wrong answer. There's not a, oh, thus says the Lord, or we've got to make a decision and we got to discern. Okay, here's the weather. Here's what's going to happen. If it's pouring down rain, will people come? Do we reschedule it? Do we not? All these different things. And there's not necessarily like a black and white yes or no. It's discernment. And we had to figure it out. And we were literally at the First Fish Farm welcome wagon at 7:48. Service starts in 2 minutes. We're like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Trying to figure it out. Trying to invite people in. Like, we love Trunk or Treat. We love to be a community. We want you to come. We want all things to happen, but it's going to rain all day. So we have to use some discernment and judgment to decide, man, we can't do this. So it was just a, you know, that was discernment. You all have discernment, all sorts of different things, but in here, it's a little more serious. It's not just a church event. Do we do it or not? This is the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. What does he say? The mature Christians know how to discern. When things come at them, they can by reflex know, okay, this is right and this is wrong. I love what Mohler would say about this idea of discernment. He says, to put it another way, discernment is like a theological grid or a worldview that helps us make instant moral and theological judgments about a circumstance. So we have like, we're skilled in the Word of God, so when something comes at us, we have a moral grid, we have a framework that we can say yes to this and no to this. There is discernment that takes place. And what you should be by now as a Christian, if you've been walking with Jesus for a little while, you should be able to begin to learn how to discern between right and wrong, what's good and what's evil, what is worth your time and what's not, what you should say yes to and what you should say no to. There's discernment that's happening. And I want to say that if we need skills because of the world we inhabit right now that doesn't share a worldview, I think as the Christian church, we need discernment more than ever for the world that's coming. Because there is a world that's coming that I'm not sure we're ready for yet. Like there is a artificial intelligence revolution happening right now that I'm not sure the church and Christians are quite ready for. And you know what that world is gonna require? Lots of wisdom and lots of discernment. Because guess what? You can't turn to 2 Timothy and look up what Paul said to Timothy about artificial intelligence. So how do you figure this out? Well, you have to know the Word of God enough. You have to be skilled in enough to know what would God feel about this? What would God want me to do here? And what would he not want me to do here? I mean, I started my week Monday and Tuesday. We had a pastor cohort in Bowling Green, some pastors from all over Kentucky. It's about 20 of us who come together and have this cohort once a year. And two of the sessions was on pastoral ministry and artificial intelligence. And I'll just say, we all left there wanting to go sell our house and get a tent and camp in the woods for the rest of our lives. That was how we left. It's like, oh man, what's coming is pretty wild. Now, there are some amazing things that's coming, right? So he showed us, here's all these apps you can use. Here's these things that can make life so much better. And so artificial intelligence, there are some amazing things to it. And by the way, pretty much all of you use it right now. Like if you ever Googled anything in the last like 6 months, you've used artificial intelligence. It's all over. Every app you use, everything you use, it's all now embedded with AI. And AI is a wonderful tool. It's a great tool to some degree. But then there's a, hey, can we do this? Well, should we do this? Is a question that we all should be asking, and not enough of us are asking, should we do this? Like AI is really cool when it's like a note taker for you and it summarizes your meeting notes, that's great. But when AI is available to clone myself and then put out false videos of me doing devotions and sermons online that aren't actually me, they're a clone of me, I think we can all agree, okay, that's bad. But most of the world doesn't think that bad. No, that's fine. That's good. Because there's no difference between real and fake. There's no difference between that and this. It's all, we're all going to live in a space that's just generated and not rooted in reality. So as Christians, we're about to enter in a world where I'm just saying we have to have some major discernment to deal with. Do we say yes to this or no to this? And we can't be baby Christians. We have to grow and mature so that we have a lens which looks at the world through a biblical worldview so that we know what to do in the age we're about to go into. Like we need skills right now, we need discernment right now, but we need it also for the world to come. Because we gotta figure out what to do and what not to do in all these situations. And notice what this idea of discernment, it says this, we have powers of discernment, train by constant practice to distinguish between good and evil. See, discernment is a human superpower. AI can't do that. You can just ask ChatGPT, can you discern things? It will say, no, I can't. That's a human thing. So it's a human. Humans discern. Humans are able to distinguish between right and wrong. That's something that we can do and must do. Where does discernment start? It starts with conviction, knowing what's good, right, and true. So that my conviction, I can look at something and know what I should do or shouldn't do. Well, how do we get that conviction? It happens through training, through constant training of distinguishing between right and wrong. We have to train ourselves in it. I got three boys who are all learning like new things. And one of the boys, he loves to fish and it's kind of a little bit new to him. So you know what he does? He watches YouTube videos. So he's got like Austin Erie, shout out there, on YouTube, telling him how to cast, how to do baits. And then he's like going and out doing it. Oh, here we go, I'm trying to do this. He's watching and learning. I got another boy who's all into golf. And you know what he does? He got a flight simulator. So he's hitting and then he's looking at his ball flight. He's watching how do I do this? How do I get the correction? He's getting data. He's practicing over and over again. I got another one that's trying to learn guitar and it is not going well so far. It's like, bro, can you just stop playing? Because that sounds bad. But I will say 3 weeks ago, it sounded way worse than it does now. And he's got like a YouTube video on here. He's trying to figure out, okay, I'm watching this. I'm doing this. I'm watching him doing this. That pattern is what we should be doing as Christians. Hey, I'm reading God's word and I'm living my life. I'm reading God's words and I'm living my life. And then as I go through life, this is not working out. Let's go back to the source. Let's go back to scripture. Now let's reapply that. And over again, through growth, you begin to learn, oh, this is a gospel reflex. This is what I should do and not do. I'm being trained because I'm using my discernment. And when I mess up, I repent. And when I do it right, I check that, okay, this is a good thing. So it's by practice, by living out the gospel in real life that we have this muscle of discernment and distinguishing so that we can tell what's right and what's wrong. So Christians, we've got to grow. We've got to grow up. We can't just assume the world is going to teach us everything. We have to dive deeply into God's word. So what should we be doing? We should be seeking to grow. Notice verse 1, it says this, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying in a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instructions about washing, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So what does he want? He wants us to mature. Notice how he says it. Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and let us go on to maturity. So he wants us to to move. He wants us to go on to maturity. Now, I want to ask a question. What does it mean to leave the elementary doctrine of Christ? So I think the elementary doctrine of Christ, which we're going to get sort of a summary of some of these doctrines, as one commentator pointed out, this is Michael Kruger, that those things that he's just referenced, the repentance of dead works to faith and washing and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, judgment, those are like those first things you learn. Right? You learn about here's how what faith in Christ looks like. Here's what baptism looks like. Here's, hey, the end is coming, you need to repent. Those are those first things that we learn. Well, the first things are foundational. The first things are the most important. The first things are the bedrock. So what does he mean by leave those things and go on to maturity? I don't think he's saying leave those things behind and go to something else, because we know the whole Bible would teach against that. No, what he's saying is leave those. In other words, build upon those. Don't just stay in the ABCs of the gospel. Take the ABCs of the gospel and now move into learning all of the other stuff. Now build upon this foundation, the walls and the windows and the roof, where you have a robust understanding of God and his word so that you can be a Christian who walks in culture and knows what God would have you do. In other words, don't leave the gospel behind, never leave the gospel behind, but based on the gospel, now build upon that and start growing in your Christian life. Start diving into the scriptures and figure out how does all of this work and how do I now walk out my life? So I think he's trying to say is, hey, you've been saved by the cross, but now the question is, are you being formed by the cross? See, it's good that you're saved by the cross. And you never want to leave that behind. You never want to leave the gospel behind. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, that's your salvation. It's by faith only. There's no good works that can get you into that. It is about Jesus. That's the gospel. You've been saved by the cross, but now sanctification is being formed by the cross. Hey, I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. What does that look like? How do I walk that out? That is being skilled in the word of God that now, since you have milk, now begin to add to it all those other things that Christ would have you to know and do. Grow up now. You have the ABCs, now build upon that. It's like we don't tell our kids, hey, now that you know the ABCs, leave them behind. No, why do we teach kids the ABCs? Because everything else in their educational career is gonna happen based on those ABCs. That's the start, and that's how you grow, that's how you add to it. So you don't leave them behind. No, you leave in a sense of building upon that. And then he lists those sort of first things. Don't lay again a foundation. In other words, what's a foundation for? To build on. Don't just keep laying a foundation over and over again of the same things. Take the foundation and now build the walls. Build it out, build your life, start growing. And then notice what he says, verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. This we will do if God permits. So what does that mean? It means that growth ultimately comes from God. Like you can't cause yourself to grow spiritually any more than you can cause yourself to grow physically. You can't cause yourself to grow physically. It just happens to you. You know what you gotta do? You gotta eat and you gotta exercise. Growth will come. That's what God is saying. Hey, dive into my word. Surrender yourself to my spirit and growth will come, but growth is from me. So you know what that means? If you're a mature believer, it never leads to pride. Mature believers in Christ, it always leads to humility because they know growth is a God thing, not a me thing. I didn't get past you and now like, look at me. Man, this is all God and only God. I'm surrendering my life to God. It's God who causes growth. So what I wanna do is I wanna think about this challenge to grow. And one thing about five ways to move from milk to meat. Short and sweet, but we'll close out just some real practical ways based on this text, how you can move from milk to meat. How you can go from, hey, I know the gospel, I'm holding on to the gospel, I'm firmly planted in the gospel, and now I want to grow from that gospel into the person Christ wants me to be. What are five things that you can do? Number one, open your ears to preaching. That's what the sermon is about thus far. He says, hey, listen up. You're lazy, dull in hearing. You're not listening, so I can't build anything more. We gotta take a detour, park the car, get the kids engaged. It's a rebuke of dull hearing, lazy hearing. So what's the application? Don't be lazy in your hearing. There's something special that happens every 7 days when we come together and hear the preached word of God. Because what happens is God takes the word of God by the Spirit of God and preach it to the people of God. And change happens, growth happens, but you can miss it if you don't listen. You can just come and sit, occupy a chair, and then go home, and week by week do that, and never grow, never get the filet, never get the meat, never get that full substance of all that God has and wants you to do. So come in here expecting to grow, longing to grow, and listen intently. See, you have just as much work as I do. I have work to preach a sermon. You have a lot of work to hear a sermon. You don't just get a check out. It's an active working by the Spirit to listen to God's word and put it into your life. So have open ears. The second thing, open your heart to the Bible. What I mean by that is when you do your daily reading, and hopefully you are you opening your heart to what you're reading? Because it's real easy to open up the Bible app and just hit those three zeros after you. Like they've got these little dots, you know? So you can just read it and check it. Oh, I feel good because I read 3 chapters of the Bible today. Well, good job. Did you actually ask the Lord to transform you? Was your heart engaged as you read that text? Are you praying and repenting of things based on that? Are you asking God to do something from that text in your heart and in your, does your heart open to it? Or are you just doing something? So open your ears, open your heart. Thirdly, open your mind to Christian wisdom. One of the great things about Christianity is we've had 2,000 years of it. So you know what that means? There's a lot of guys and girls who have wrote some great things about God. And so I would encourage you to grab some of the great works throughout church history and read some great books about the Christian faith and about God and grow in just reading. I'm reading Pilgrim's Progress to the Little Girl at Night, and it's just, man, Bunyan is so amazing in how he articulates and weaves the gospel in this beautiful story. And it's just, it's awesome. I would encourage you, grab some really great Christian books and dive into them so that you can grow in your faith. Number four, open your hands to serve people. You know, growth takes eating and also exercise. Like if you eat only and never exercise, what happens? Some of us know, right? You're like, yeah, this happens. You know, the mirror keeps lying, right? These pants, like, what, honey, are you shrinking these? Like, what's going on here? No, like, if you don't exercise, you only grow the wrong way, right? So we need to eat and also exercise if we want to grow in the way that God wants, both physically and spiritually. And when it comes to grow, we got to actually serve people, actually do something with all the knowledge, or not, it'll just be all in our head and never in our heart and never in our hands. It's hearing from God and then going and doing something, serving somebody, engaging in something, being used by God for something. So I encourage you, this isn't just, hey, read your Bible a whole lot. It's read your Bible a lot and go love your neighbor well. Read your Bible a lot and go serve people, because both of those things are how we grow. And then lastly, open your mouth to share the gospel. You want to begin to grow in your faith? Start sharing your faith. Because you know what happens when you start sharing your faith? The person you're sharing will ask questions. They'll ask questions that you don't know. They'll ask questions that you can't handle. And you know what you'll have to do? You have to say, man, I don't know, but let me try to figure that out. And you have to go back and figure that out and then report back to them and give them those answers. And every time you do that, you know what you're doing? You are learning and growing and maturing. You're feasting on a filet. You are understanding the Bible deeper because you're not asking all the questions that they might ask. And through questions and pondering and deep diving into God's word, you begin to grow and learn and experience all that God has for you. So I encourage you to open your mouth and share the gospel with someone and see how that doesn't cause you to grow based on what you don't know and what you need to know. I'm gonna ask the band to come back up as we get ready to close, and they're gonna sing one last song for us. And I wanna think about this idea of rebuking, because what the preacher did is he rebuked us a little bit. He pulled the car over and said, hey kids, you're not listening. And because you're not listening, you're not growing. And because you're not growing, you can't discern. You're unskilled and you're floundering. And here's going to be the real warning next week. Some of you aren't listening. You're actually going to fall away. You're going to get out of the car and go into the rest stop and never join the family again. Some of you are going to leave and never come back. There's that idea of apostasy that some can fall away, and that really scares us. So what do we do with that? Next, we're going to talk all about this idea of him saying, hey, some of you might fall away. And then we're going to come back with some strong encouragement that he doesn't think anything will because they're anchored in Christ. But here's the rebuke this morning that leads to a warning, that leads to comfort. It's, are you listening? And again, some of you, as you hear that, there's two responses to a rebuke. Either you get mad or you get motivated. So you can get mad and say, what do you mean I'm a baby Christian? And then continue. Or you can get motivated and say, man, I think I'm still just drinking milk. And this week, I want to begin to dive into God's word. I want to begin to figure this thing. I want to begin to grow. And guess what? It's not going to go from milk to steak. It's going to go to the kids' menu. It's going to be grilled cheese. It's going to be some colors. But eventually you get going and you get progressing and begin to grow and become all that God wants you to do, so you can discern and distinguish what's right and wrong, and you can live out the gospel before people. So where are you at? And what do you need to do about where you're at? We're going to sing in response. If you need to come to the altar and pray, if you need to talk to one of the counselors, we're here. If you just want to sing in your chair, you can do whatever the Lord leads you to. I'm going to pray and then let's respond. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he's done. We pray that we would truly grow up, that we would not be lazy hearers, but that we would hear and respond to your word. We pray this in Christ's good name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.